she'll just, you know, first of all, she says, why are you listening to a guy? Sounds like he's hurting when he's singing. And so I've been on this big kick, and here's the thing that Katie, it drives her crazy. She says, why can't you just listen to his music? Why do you have to buy the magazines and the books and study his life and his lyrics, and you do all this stuff, and it's just way overboard. And I can't help myself because I've just kind of discovered this love. And it's interesting that we don't have to be kind of, you know, we don't have to have a knife in our back or anybody prodding us along, but when we really love something, we know it. We know it because we love it and we have a passion for it. Me and Katie just celebrated 6 years of marriage, which I know to some of you are thinking you're just getting started. But for us, 6 years, we actually got to go to Atlanta and had a really great trip there. And we were sitting in this restaurant. We were kind of looking at each other and we were thinking about the marriage and the years that we've shared so far, the 6 years. And you know, I was looking at her and I said, you know, I think the thing that is the most kind of meaningful to me is that when I look at you, I know you. You know, I mean, I thought I knew her when I married her, and I sort of did. But then you get married, and come on, you really get to know someone when you marry them. And I just looked at her, and I thought, man, I know her so well. Before she says something, I know what she's going to say. I looked at the menu. I could have ordered for her. I know what she likes to eat. You know, I can look at a purse and know what kind of purse she'll like. I can even look at shoes and know if she'll like the shoes or not. I mean, I've close enough. But, you know, it's because I've studied her because I love her. And because I love her, I want to know her. And what's great is I think that not only do we desire to love and know things, but we desire to be loved and known in return, don't we? And I sat there at that table with Katie and I looked across the table and I thought, what's even more amazing than the fact that I know her and love her, and because I love her, I know her, is that she knows me. She knows me. And that means that I'm exposed, and that means that, you know, she knows things about me and I can't hide and I can't get away, but it also means she just knows the words to say when I'm discouraged, you know, and she just knows the thing to do when I need a pick-me-up, and she knows how to celebrate with me, she knows how to cry with me, and she knows how to laugh with me. She knows me, and there's nothing more human than the desire to know, to love, and to be known, and to love in return. That's sort of is at the core of who we are. I said earlier that today is Epiphany, and really that's what today is all about. It's about this God who said, I want to know you because I love you. And it's not enough for me to set far off. It's not enough for me to study you from a distance, but I want to laugh with you, and I want to cry with you, and I want to celebrate with you, and I want to grieve with you. I want to love you and know you, and you know what? I want you to know me also. I don't want to tease you with being some mysterious, far-off partner, but I want to truly, truly be known by you. That's what we celebrate in Epiphany. And there's really no story better to celebrate that than this story of the Magi that we heard a little bit earlier in the video. And I love the way that described the story of the three Magi, or the three wise men, or some know them as the three kings. And so this morning, I want us to start off with that. I want us to talk a little bit about the Magi this morning. So I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. And you can follow along on an app if you have it, or in your Bible if you brought it. But if not, just to hear this story. Many of us maybe have heard this before, and maybe we haven't, but hear how strange this story is. Let's hear together the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where's this child who has been born king of the Jews? We observed his star when it rose and have come to pay homage. And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem was frightened, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, very secretly, called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them again went the star that they had seen at its rising, till it stopped right over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were so overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. And then they opened their treasures and they offered their gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This story is wild. It's a wild story because, first of all, who are these magi? And why are we talking about the Far East when really what's important is taking place in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus? And what's going on here? It's interesting that if you study the magi, these magi would really not have seen a Messiah coming at all. Magi were these guys that lived in Persia, and they studied the stars. They were sort of the guys that would help the king decide what to do and try to interpret dreams. And they were wise men who gave advice. They were advisors to the royal throne. And their advice was based on the stars primarily and other things as well. And so they studied the stars. They had their own religion. They had their own life, their own culture, their own things going on. They were over 1,200 miles from where Jesus was born. They probably never read any of the Bible. They probably had no idea that the Jews were looking for a Messiah. And if they did, they didn't really grasp that this Messiah would be God when the Messiah came. And so they just weren't probably paying a whole lot of attention, even though they might have been looking for something to come that might have been a big deal. And so here we have these magi. They don't really even seem to fit in the story at all, because we are in a story that has to do with Jews and has to do with Israel and has to do with Judea and has to do with Bethlehem and this small area and what's going on there. And suddenly in Matthew, we're talking about these people that aren't Jews and haven't read Scripture and haven't gone to worship in the temple of God and haven't been looking for a Messiah who's the Son of God. They're just doing their own thing far away, thinking that their life is full and fine, studying the stars. And what's interesting is, as sort of on the outskirts as the Magi may seem to us, they are at the heart of this story. They're at its very core. It's interesting, the Magi are studying the stars, and the Scriptures say that God reaches out and puts a star in the sky to tell them that the Savior has been born. What's interesting is that, you know, we might expect God to share with them a Scripture. You know, a lot of times Jews will say, well, this is how we know it's the Messiah, because, and they'll quote an old Scripture. But the Magi didn't know Scripture. And they might have been spoken to in a worship service, except they didn't go to worship services. And they might have heard it from other Jews, except they weren't in Israel at the time. So they had no way of knowing, except God chooses the one thing that will capture their attention and puts it in the sky. And what this says is that God knows them. God knows. Just like my wife knows that if she wants to get my attention, she probably has 5 top words on her list that she can say, and immediately my head will turn. God knew these men. He knew that their love was for astronomy. He knew that their passion was there. He knew that they looked there for guidance in their life. And God said, I know that there are no Scriptures around, and I know that maybe you've never been to worship, but I love you and I know you, and I know what you need is a star. And so he put one in the heavens for them to announce to them that Jesus had been born. Because you see, it doesn't matter how far they were away from the event. It doesn't matter what the distance was. It doesn't matter what culture separated them. It doesn't matter what languages separated them. It doesn't matter if they hadn't been seeped in this religious culture or been seeped in this understanding of the Messiah. All that mattered is that God loved them with an overwhelming love and said, this event, in case you don't know, is for you too. And he put a star in the sky and he said, I've come not just for the people that everyone thinks. I've not just come for a select few or an elite, but I've come for even you. Though you may think you're too far away, though you may think there are too many boundaries, you're mine and I'm yours. And I want you to know me. The Magi see this star and they follow it. They begin to follow it. And this is what blows my mind, is that it's not as if God just goes, bam, there's a star in the sky, and they'll figure it out from here, and I'll just see what happens. But instead, this star moves. You realize this was a two-year journey. I know we have a lot of manger scenes, and Katie and I had one we just took down out of our house for Christmas, and it's the manger scene, and the wise men are right there next to the shepherds, and the baby's really small, right? So it looks like the wise men were there at the same time as the shepherds. But actually, it would have taken them over 2 years to get to Jesus. And so they really committed themselves to this, right? I think that if nothing else, this desire to know who loved them and knew them enough to look out for them and say, this is for you too, it drew them in. And so they follow this star for 2 years, and all along the way, God is saying, I know you need this star. Here it is. I hope this isn't a rabbit trail this morning, but I think too often we think of God as this sort of teasing figure who says, you know, if you can get to me, that's good, and puts us through a lot of kind of struggles and boundaries and different things. But actually what this story tells us is that God says, I am not leaving you until you find me. I don't care how far. I don't care if it has to be a star because you don't read the scriptures and you've never been to a temple. I will do what it takes to get to you. And they follow the star for 2 years. The Magi. They show up at this scene, and it's really interesting that they come and they get to this area in Judea, and they're looking for Jesus, and they ask all these people, right? They ask the Jewish king of the day, Herod, and then they ask the chief priests and the scribes. All these are people who had been seeped in this culture of religion, who had sort of been seeped and knew, and they said, where is this person to be born? And they said, you know, probably in Bethlehem, and they continued to follow the star. And it's amazing that when they get to that place where the star stops, I loved the description in the video we read earlier that this was a peasant's house. They might have been expecting, once again, a great temple, a great palace, or a great castle where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the very God who had become flesh and been born, they might have expected royalty and grandeur and an intimidating throne room, right? Or a crib covered in gold that would just put everybody to shame that wasn't rich. But instead, they find a humble, unassuming, inviting house where you're just welcome. And they enter. And once again, they cannot help themselves. But they find this child crying. And this is not just a child. This is God. This is God who said, I want to cry the way you cry. And I want to eat the way you eat. And I want to go to funerals the way that you go to funerals. And I want to go to weddings the way you go to weddings. And when you grieve, I want to grieve that way. And when you journey, I want to journey with you that way. And God said, I won't just know you with this distant, I will know you because I will share space with you. I will move into your life and journey with you and never leave you. And the Magi, discovering that this God was willing to know them and love them and then say, know me, love me. I've made it as simple as possible. Here I am in the form of a baby. I want you to know me. I'm not hiding. I want you to love me as much as you can the way I love you. I'm here. And they couldn't help but just be overwhelmed with joy. And then they just poured all the resources out at his feet. Because that's what we do when someone shows us that they love it and they mean it. And that's what we do when someone studies us and shows us that they want to know us like they mean it. We want to love them back. And we want to know them in return. And so this invitation is extended to these three guys. Probably not three, by the way. We don't know how many. This group of guys that we're not looking. We're not really paying attention. We're not expecting God to just run into their lives and save them from not being known and loved. They were overcome by the God who says, I know exactly how to get your attention and I'll do it because I love you so much that I won't try to fit you into this mold or that mold. If you need a star, here's a star. And followed and drew them and guided them all along the way. It's interesting to me as I read this story, once again, I was reading it again this morning. I got up this morning and I was reading over it. You know, I don't know how the chief priests and the scribes and Herod missed it. They didn't miss it, but they were afraid for some reason. They were afraid, and the wise men come through and say, do you know where this guy's going to be born? And they say, yeah, sure, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, because we know the scriptures, even though you don't know the scriptures, we know. So we know where he's going to be born. Okay, well, thanks, we'll head in that direction. And the star shines. And you know, what's funny to me is that they try all these different ways to discover where the wise men go. They could have followed them, you know? They could have followed them right to the place where Jesus was born, but they didn't. Maybe these wise men were able with fresh and new eyes to see the love and the care of God in a way that some of us maybe who have been really seeped in the culture have gotten a little too used to. Maybe somehow the Magi discovering for the first time how wonderful it is to be able to say that God loves us and knows each one of us right where we are. Maybe they'd forgotten the joy. This chief priests and these others seeped. And maybe the Magi needed to show them what it means to rediscover this God. This morning, epiphany is a big word, I know. But I remember the time when I really realized that this God wanted to know me and to love me and did and wanted me to love and know him in return. This morning, we've all come in here, and the good news of Epiphany is that we've all come into this place, and some of us have one number in our bank account, and some of us have another number, and some of us might have come dressed one way, and others dressed another. The ages are different. The incomes might be different. The classes might be different. The family histories might be different. Whatever, the ages might be different. The gender might be different. But you came in that door today, and when you walked into the place of the worship of a God named Jesus, you walked home. You're home this morning. You're home because you're in a place where this Savior loves you and knows you better than anyone else. And if you think that because you're known so well, he might not love you, you're wrong. Because he knows everything. He knew the ignorance, and he knew the false belief of the Magi. And he knew they were far away, and he knew they weren't looking, and he knew they probably really didn't care because that wasn't their religion, that wasn't their faith, that wasn't their life, that wasn't their story. And yet he still said, I know, but here I am reaching. Here's the star you need. This morning, when we all walked through that door into worship, we came to worship a God who says, here's the star you need. I love you. I know you. And he says, and in case you think I'm a mysterious God, and this is really what Epiphany is all about. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery of God that has been hidden from humankind throughout the centuries has now been made known. This God is not all mystery. This God is the same as these children that are over there playing. This God is a God of flesh, a God who has cried. God who has laughed, a God who walks side by side, never surrendering, but always giving love to us. Would you pray with me this morning? God, this morning as we come to you and we come and we can't see each other's hearts, but we can look at each other and see that we're different. We're different this morning. We don't look the same, and maybe we don't act the same, and maybe our backgrounds are totally different, and maybe we come into this place this morning afraid to be known. Maybe we come into this place and we want to be a mystery to everybody because maybe we're afraid. We come into this place and we have a desire, even though we're afraid, we have a desire to be known intimately and still loved fully. God, I pray this morning for us that as we come, we would hear the good news of this big word called Epiphany, of this God who said, I know you. I know all about you, and I know what you need. I know what you need to see. I know the signs that'll catch your attention. I know your struggles, and I know that the journey to get to my presence will be harder for some than others. Some might have to trek for 2 years, and others might be able to walk across the street. But here I am, and I want you to know me. Because I know and I love you. Lord, this morning encourage us and fill us with the good news that you love us and you know us. And that not only do you love us and know us, but you have given us everything we need to know and to love you in return. And that's what we want to do this morning. Just a few moments, we're going to receive communion together. We're only having one service every month, and we just can't miss an opportunity to receive communion.